Hello, 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 everybody. This is Mary Poppins, and you are here listening to my podcast, ESPM, where if it doesn't affect you emotionally, spiritually, physically, or mentally, don't pay it no attention. We want to kill what doesn't pay us. Do not give it no life. First things first, before we get started, we want to do a little self-care check-in. Did you drink your water today? Did you take your vitamins? Did you stretch? Did you wash your ass? And most importantly, are you minding your business? Are you doing things that are helping you and are affecting you and elevating you? Because that's what's most important, because you can't help anybody else if your well is dry. Do you understand me? Yes, yes, yes. So as we move forward, before we even begin, I just want to say in the words of one of my favorite artists, India Arie, please don't be offended. This is all my opinion. Ain't nothing that I'm saying law. This is just true confession of life learned lessons that I was sent here to share with y'all. Okay. This is all that is it. And that is all. Okay. I'm only here to share what I'm feeling, the message that I'm feeling and what's on my heart. And that's it. This is not news. This is just what I'm feeling, okay? I'm gonna try to give you the facts that I have. I'm not trying to give you any opinion on the facts that I have as far as just the details. I'm gonna try to give you the details, and then I'm gonna try to move on with the story of what I was here, you know, sitting here to share, okay? Okay. So today, what I want to talk about is the murder, or I don't really want to talk about the murder of Shanquilla Robinson. I just kind of want to go over just a little bit of that, and then just kind of what I took from that, what I'm taking from that, what I'm learning from that, and just, you know, my experiences in life. So Shanquilla Robinson was a 25-year-old black woman. She was a braider. She was a professional hairstylist. So she had a business. And she was 25 years old. She went on this trip to Mexico. So she went to Cabo, Mexico with a group of friends. And unfortunately, she did not return home alive to her family. There's some reports saying that the Mexican police say that they're not pressing charges. They said that I guess there was nothing wrong that happened. And her friends are saying that she was drunk and she had an accident. But there's a video of her getting beat up by someone that was in the group with them. I don't know if it was a friend or if, you know, because, you know, sometimes you go on a trip with your friends and you go on a trip with your friends and there are other people, like, you know, you have a main friend and then she has other people that she's cool with that you've been around before because you guys have been to parties or you guys went out together or whatever. So, you know, I'm not sure who was really friends in the group, but according to the news, she went on this trip to Cabo, Mexico with a group of friends and she didn't make it alive. The death certificate said that she died of a spinal cord injury in atlas luxation, which I guess is just injury to the top of her spinal cord and her neck. It also said that she died at 3 p.m., which is 15 minutes after her injury. So somewhere between 2 and 3, and I guess that's me putting an opinion on the shit that happened, but I'm assuming that somewhere, if she died at 3 p.m. and she died at 15 minutes after her injuries, I'm assuming somewhere between 2 and 3, that's when the fight and things ensued. And also keep in mind, she died at 3 p.m. 15 minutes after her injuries, and the friends, instead of calling the police, they called the concierge first. So I'm not sure if they called the concierge because it's Mexico, so they weren't sure if they were supposed to call 911 or if there was a language barrier, but they called the police first. They called the concierge first, and the concierge then called the police. I'm not sure if they tried to give CPR. I'm not sure if, you know, exactly what happened. But, yeah, that's the story. So, first of all, we just want to say rest in peace, Shanquilla Robinson. And also justice for Shanquilla Robinson. Because no one should experience thinking you are in a group of friends that love you, and you go on a trip with people that you feel love you and you trust, and you ultimately trust with your life because you're going out of town, you're going somewhere you're unfamiliar with, and you're going with people that you, I assume, you love and care about, and that they love and care about you, and then you don't make it back home. No one should have to go through that at all. And that's exactly what the situation is. That's exactly what happened. So, you know, she needs justice, because they're saying that she was drunk and there was an accident. There's no details of what this accident is. And not only that, but somebody in the group recorded her getting into this fight or getting beat up, because she was not fighting back. She was not fighting back. They're screaming at her in the video, at least fight back. And then somebody in that group who knew she passed leaked that video, because you didn't leak it in that moment, you leaked it after she passed it. You knew she passed, and they left her in Mexico. So they left her body. Her mom had to pay, I think, I don't even know how much. I know it was over $1,000 to get her body back home. So this family is just going through a lot. So, you know, I hope they get justice, because at the end of the day, no one should have to go through something like this, like as I have said before. Now, the thing that is what I'm seeing a lot over social media, Twitter, are people talking about, and see, that's why I don't have friends, and that's why I don't fuck with people, and just different controversial statements that I've heard and that I'll get into later. But this brings me to me and in my life and how I've been operating lately. Because I have just been cutting people off left and right. And with what's going on in my life, and that's for another podcast, but with what's going on in my life, I expect certain support and, you know, certain things to have happened. And when they didn't, it was just like a realization of everything. Like, if it was me, I would have X, Y, and Z, because you are this person in my life and you are important. And because you are important to me, I'm going to go above and beyond for you. I'm going to do things for you that I wouldn't do for other people, because that's the type of person that I am when I love somebody. And because I've seen that happen, with other people. So with other friends and with other family members, I've seen them go above and beyond for other people. And then when they don't go above and beyond for me, and then have excuses and reasons because of X, Y, and Z, it's kind of hurtful, because it's like, I've seen you go above and beyond and even complain, because you may have complained to me about what you had to do for this person, how they may or may have not appreciated that. But when I need you, the friend that is there for you, or the family member that always shows up when you ask them to, and I need you, you don't show up. That to me is, in my head, kind of just fucks with me, because like, I've seen you actually be that person that I need you to be for me. And so with that being said, I've just been cutting people off, because I'm like, it's not that I'm angry at people. It's not that I don't forgive people. It's just I can no longer allow these people in my life, because I don't trust them anymore. They have betrayed me for the last time after being forgiven it so many times. It's like, you know, you continuously forgive people and they repeat the offense. And to me, that's a problem. So I cut people off, because at the end of the day, there's so many times that you can hurt me. I recently shared this meme that said a nigga can only fuck with me 60 times before I just cut him off. And I had added, yeah, because there's only so much I could take. And that's the reality of my friendships and my relationships with people, period. Like, I will forgive you over and over and over and over again, because I love you so much, and because you are just that important to me, and because I value the relationship and the experiences that we have together over the disrespect. And you know, it's like, at some point I had to value me and my friendship and what I bring to the table over the relationships, because the relationships weren't equally now. So I start cutting people off, and honestly, it got lonely. Excuse me, I had to take a little drink. It's this mocha I got, and the mocha is too sweet, and the coffee's not never strong enough. Like, what the fuck? I gotta stop ordering for them. But back to what I was saying. And honestly, it got lonely, but the reality is I have peace, and I no longer have people that bring trauma and people that I have to worry about and personalities that I have to tiptoe around. I no longer have people in my life like that, and they have limited access to me. They can, you know, because at the end of the day, some people I just truly still love, but I've already learned my, you know, from my experiences with them. And so I, instead of forgiving and coming back into the picture, I'm forgiving, but I'm moving on because I already know what the reality is. And so that brings me to Mike Tyson. Now, Mike Tyson, there was this video that came out a long time ago, and I actually wanted to do a podcast about that back then, but life hit me with a bunch of curveballs, so, you know, here I am. Second season, like I said before, welcome back. But it brings me to Mike Tyson. There was a video that going around, and it was Mike Tyson and this other actor. I can't really remember his name right now, but he's in, I just watched Rush Hour, and he's the guy where, I think it's Rush Hour 2. So it's Rush Hour 2. And Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker walk into the suit shop in Las Vegas. And the guy's like, buttercream, 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 mocha. That guy. It was him. It was Mike Tyson. It was another gentleman, like 22, 23 years old. And they were talking about relationships and forgiveness. And the guy was basically saying that if you do me wrong, I'm not going to forgive you. Like, I'm gonna cut you off. Like, there's no space in my life for you no more. And Mike Tyson was saying that, you know, if you let somebody control your feelings and your emotions, then they're your master and they change you. So, you know, cutting them off means that they can they change who you are and they control you. And I disagree with that so much. Like, I agree to a certain extent in the forgiveness part, because you do need to forgive people, because if you don't, you do let them control you and they do become your master, in the sense that you're upset and frustrated over somebody who potentially is not thinking about you, someone who has already done whatever they've done to you, and they've moved on to their next victim, and here you are still harboring that resentment. And it's like, you got to let those emotions go. You got to let those feelings go. However, I disagree with Mike Tyson, and I agree with that young man, because at the end of the day, you can forgive them, but you do not need to allow these people to continue in your life. You can cut them off, and forgiveness is not about them. So you don't need to verbally say to them, hey, you, I forgive you. They don't need you. They don't need to hear that you forgive them. You need to hear that from yourself. You need to tell yourself. You need to tell yourself you forgive them. That's it. In your brain, you need to allow that to happen. You need to, if you need to have conversations with your brain about what happened and go back and forth, see two sides of the opinion of the issue. If you need to get another opinion, you need to get, and sometimes you need another opinion, and you just need to be quiet and listen, even if you disagree, because it's something you need to hear, and it's something that you can think about, and you can use what people have said to go back and forth with yourself to see, what do you feel, you know, like, how can you forgive this person? And again, you need to let yourself know that the forgiveness is not about you, about them. It's about you. Remember that. The forgiveness is not about them. It's about you. It's about you feeling better. It's about you waking up in the morning and being able to live your life. It's about you not you seeing that person's name, because that's my problem. I'll see people's names or see things that remind me of people and get frustrated again. And it's like, no, you need to be able to forgive them. So when you see things that remind you of A, your brain is not pointing out things to you that remind you of them. So you're not seeing that because they're not on your mind anymore. And if you do see something, you're not feeling any anger. Maybe you'll feel happiness for the good times and then you'll move forward. But you do need to forgive. But I say that about Mike Tyson because he's saying you need to forgive people. But we have to remember that Mike Tyson was, first of all, a bully back in the day. Everybody was scared of Mike Tyson. Everybody was tiptoeing. You couldn't make jokes. They'd be like, Mike Tyson knocked you out. Mike Tyson bit out somebody's ear. So it's like, for a bully, and please, you know, I hope, I don't know if Mike Tyson ever is to hear this, which I doubt, but you know, if Mike Tyson ever hear this, please, sir, don't come for me. This is just what I've seen throughout my life with you, because you know, everybody, you was an adult when I was a child, so at the end of the day, this is just what I've seen. Everybody was so fearful of Mike Tyson. And he if people were to cut him off for how they treated him, for how he treated them, he wouldn't have nobody in his life. So, of course, it's like manipulation. It's reverse psychology. It's like, if you cut me off, I control you. So don't cut me off. Just forgive me and keep me in your life. But at the end of the day, he's saying that because he wants your energy. He wants you. He needs people to remain in his life because he stepped on so many toes in his younger days. It's like, hey, I'm a changed man. Forgive me. And if you don't, you a punk and I'm your master. It's like, no, I forgive you, but we don't have to allow you to be in this space anymore. Luckily for him, people have forgiven him and have opened up that space and has forgotten all of the things that he's done in the past and is allowing him to have a space now. But let's remember, Mike Tyson is also the person that let a fan bother him so much that he snapped and he slapped him up on the plane. Now, I'm not saying that he was wrong, because anybody in their right mind would have slapped that person up because they shouldn't have been bothering him. What I'm saying is Mike Tyson is saying that people can affect your emotions and those people are your masters. So by him reacting to that fan, was he allowing that fan to become his master instead of him being at peace, or instead of him asking to be moved because he's being harassed, instead of him doing all those things, he reacted in the way that he used to react and he slapped him up. He said, fuck all that forgiveness shit. Fuck all that peace shit. I'm fucking you up because you got me fucked up. You are invading my space and my privacy and you just disrespect and I'm not tolerating it. And that is, I agree with that. And that's what I agree with when it comes to friendships. You don't always have to be an aggressor. You don't always have to be angry. You don't always have to beat people up. But when people disrespect you, if one time, okay, if you want to forgive them, because sometimes people make mistakes, but 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 60 times, that's too many. And you have to stand up for yourself and you have to make a decision to either cut people off, or are you going to continue to allow that disrespect? Because if you are, then that's the person that you are from here on out. And you no longer can complain because you are choosing that disrespect. Regardless if you want to take accountability or not, because at some point, after a while, you can't continue to blame that person for how they treat you because you're allowing that treatment. So they know that this is what's going to happen. They already know this is what you're going to accept. This is who you are. So unless you stand up for yourself, you tell them this is what's going to happen. And if they continue to disrespect you, you're going to cut them off. Hello? Like, don't be cool with them. You have to move forward. You have to do that for yourself. And like I said, I'm saying this from experience because I am a lover and I am a forgiver. I have forgiven people time and time again. And what I'm learning is we're living in a time of healing. We're not living in a time of forgiveness. We're living in a time where we all need to heal, because you can't be around somebody and be forgiving them when you're hurting inside still. You can't hurt your leg and then continue to walk on that leg without limping or without some kind of crutch, without having that leg be healed and taken care of first. So that's the same thing with your friendships. If something is broken, if something has happened, we can't continue to forgive people, can't continue to try to use something that's broken. We can't continue to be like, oh, I forgive you, when we're still angry because we're trying to be the bigger and better person. No, sometimes you have to walk away from what's hurting you so that you can heal. And once you heal, you'll see things clearer. And you'll see maybe that person was never my friend. I have seen situations where people go on vacation and then end up in situations where y'all need to band together and stick together, and people leave each other. That's fucked up. You cannot go somewhere with somebody, with a group of people that you trust, and not come home with them. Y'all go together, y'all leave together. That's it. Y'all stay together. And murder, you can't end up dead and then nobody knows what's going on. Everybody's story is different. No, you need to know those people that you with before you go, before you be anywhere with anything you do. So you have to cut people off. And the thing that you know, I've realized is it doesn't matter, you know, what I've realized is it really doesn't matter who the person is. So a lot of friendships we keep and relationships we keep because, first of all, out of guilt. Like, maybe this person has been through X, Y, and Z, and you feel like this person needs more love in their life, so you allow them to act a certain way and treat you a certain way because you're like, well, they don't know any better, or blah, blah, blah. But if you continue to love a person like that and they don't learn from you and grow and start doing better, then you're with somebody that you can't change and you can't help. And you need to move on for your sanity and your mental health and your love so that you can have somebody that is for you. We don't do things out of fear of change. We're scared of change. We living with somebody, or, you know, we just been friends with somebody for so long. Are we comfortable? It's uncomfortable making new friends. That's just the reality. Meeting new people is uncomfortable just because that's just how it is for some people. Some people, it's just nerve wracking. You got to get to know people. You got to know if they weird, if they thieves, if they steal, you know, if they going to eat all your food, if they going to be asking you for money, like if y'all going to be able to grow together, if they going to be trying to hump on your significant other. Like, you got all of these worries and you don't want to, you know, go through that again. Or especially if you're going through that with a friend, you know, quotation marks, if you're going through that with a friend and you have a fear that other people might be like that. So it's like, well, I might as well just deal with this bitch because, you know, I'm used to her and I know how to deal with her versus me meeting somebody new and potentially them either hurting me. And it's like, I don't want to get to know anybody new to hurt me. So, you know, and that's where you fear of standing up for yourself, you know, and it could be your best friend, boyfriend, husband, any family member. Like, it can be any relationship. If you need to cut them off for your sanity, you got to do what you got to do. That's just the reality of what it is. You can't tiptoe around people. I just recently seen an ex-boyfriend. And this relationship was significant to me because it reminded me of a lot of things. Like, I used to really love Family Matters when I was growing up, as I'm sure most of us did. So I thought that the guy Steve Urkel me, and I would tell people that, like, he used to hound me all the time, and I used to be like, no, I don't like you, no, I don't like you, leave me alone. And one day he just... Honestly, I'm going to tell you the truth. One day, because this is that type of podcast, and you feel me, I'll just keep it 100. But one day, He just kept, you feel me, offering to eat that pussy, like, you feel me, fuck it up. And I used to be like, no, because I think I was talking to somebody else at the time, which I probably was. I can't really remember who I was talking to at the time, but I was probably talking to somebody else, and I was hella feeling him, and I wasn't really feeling this other guy like that. But, you know, he kind of fed my ego, so he had my number. He could text me, and he could say what he wanted to say, but after that, I would be like, leave me alone. So one day, I was just, my period was coming. I could feel it. Like, I knew it was coming. And I hadn't had sex in a minute. Like, I don't know what a minute is. It could have been 2 months. It was like a time where it was like, I need to have it. Like, I cannot and will not go on. Okay? Stop, period. Like, it was like, I'm done playing games. Like, it was like, I felt like, what's that girl's name? Girl, I want to call Carisha when she was talking to Megan Thee Stallion. Like, that's what I'm texting niggas. Like, will you fuck me? Like, hello, text message. Will you fuck me? I don't have time to be like, hey, boo, da da da. I want to fuck right now. Like, when I get off work, like, I'm going to come to you when I get off work. So it was like, I was thinking in my head that day at work, because I remember where I was at. I was at work and I was in the break room and I was thinking to myself, like, what am I going to do? Because my period is coming and I know it'll be here any day and I want to have sex. Like, if I don't have sex in the next day or so, I'm going to be fucked. So, and not in a good way. So I ended up texting him. Like, my brain was like, ding. He said he was going to eat your pussy. He was going to do this. He was going to do that. So my brain was like, hit him up. So I hit him up, like, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. We ended up having, like, the best sex. Like, it was so great. But I don't know if it was great because I needed it or if it was great because it was great. And so, you know, after that, I was, like, super in love with him after that. And I think I had, you know, I got things confused because my body had just needed that. And he gave me what I needed. And it was like, shit, give me what I need all the time. So it was special to me because I felt like he, like, wore me down. And I finally gave in. And I was like, oh, this is what I've been missing this whole time. The fuck I've been tripping for. And then we was, like, a little thing. You know, I thought we was cute. So he used to send me poems, but... You know, after a while, so one day I went to his house and his brother came in the room and he was like on the phone and he didn't know he had company and he walked in the room. He was like, so-and-so about to have a baby. And he had said his name and I looked at him. And he was like, oh, no, we got a friend named so-and-so. And the brother was like, oops. And he walked out of the room. And me, I wasn't really naive, but I was like, fuck it, because I was still trying to have sex. So I think I had caught a taxi there. Like, Uber wasn't even around back then. So it was like, I'm already here. Like, I'm trying to get fucked. I don't really care about what you talk about. I'll worry about that later. So, you know, I worried about it later. And come to find out, the poems he used to send me was Joe Budden raps. Yes, Joe Budden raps. I don't know what made me Google that shit. Like, one day something just said, Google this shit. And I put, like, a paragraph in the fucking Google search and it came up Joe Budden rap. And I was like, ain't this a bitch? So I'm over here falling in love with this nigga thinking he writing me poems. And he's fucking sending me, he over here cutting and pasting Joe Budden raps. He ended up writing me an original poem and I had printed it out. But thank God I lost it because, you know, I didn't need to hold on to that bullshit anymore. But... You know, that relationship was special to me, and he hurt me with the lies, because I ended up finding out he did have a baby, and, you know, I ended up finding out all of these things, and then later on, he ended up talking to a friend of mine, and I'm no longer hella cool with her either, but he ended up talking to a friend of mine, and, you know, telling her, like, oh, what me and her had was hella old and blah, blah, blah. So I seen him at the store. And when I see him, because of all of these things that happened, I hated him. And so much to the point that when I seen him, I couldn't hold it in. Like, I would see him and if he came near me, I would be like, leave me alone. I hate you. Like, I do not like you. I do not fuck with you. Leave me alone. And that's what happened just recently. I seen him and I already, you know, I'm already in my life is in shambles mode in this life, this game called life. So I'm not really trying to even be out in the open.
and I'm trying to get some medicine for my tooth. And he comes and bumps into me and talking to me and want to rekindle. And I'm like, I don't want nothing to do with you. And it's like, it's not even because I'm still angry about all the things that happened, which I probably am still harboring, because it's like, you know, I feel like he owed me and, you know, you had me fucked up and, you know, you chased me, all of that for what? But it's like, I just don't know who you are. I don't trust you. I don't trust that, you know, you would have any good intentions when it comes to me. So you are cut off from my life. I'm not going to fuck with you like that. Now, I ain't going to lie. I did give him my number, because sometimes that bitch be needing people to talk to, because, you know, life is in shamble mode. But at the end of the day, that door is closed. It will never be what it ever was. And there's no way to get back to that. Plus, I'm not even attracted to him no more. It was like, I wasn't even attracted to him in the beginning. It was like one of those things, he got to grow on you. And then he grew off of me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't feeling him no more. That tie, that bond is broken. Forever. However, that's just an example of how people try to do things to you and then say sorry later. Like, that's not okay. You have to work on yourself. You have to heal first, and then you can be open to forgiving people, because then you can move forward. Because forgiveness does not mean that you allow people to come back in your life. Forgiveness just means that you are no longer angry at that situation. It happened, and you have come to terms with what happened. That was what your life was like before. Now, this is what your life is like now, after that situation. This is what brings you peace now, and this is what you're going to this is how you're going to continue to live. And if adding that person to your life does not bring you any peace, then you don't have to add them. You can subtract them. You can fix that situation, and then you can subtract it. It's just like math. When they give you mixed fractions, you have to solve that fraction before you can do anything else with the equation. You cannot just add and subtract a 1/4, or multiply and divide 1/4 from 2/3, 2 1/3. You have to simplify. You have to fix that problem to the best of your ability, and then you get away from it. Then you subtract it. Then you fix solve the equation. Simple. You have to fix that number first, and then you solve the equation. And that's what you have to do with your relationships. You have to heal first. Each individual has to heal. Each individual has to be the right number to fix this, to do this problem. So regardless of what it is you're trying to do in this relationship, both of you have to heal. And if that means separately, then separately. And if coming back together at a later time and fixing that problem and then moving on with your life is what you want to do, then that's what you want to do. But we need to start healing and fixing those things, because this is this is not the first time that a young Black woman has gone on a trip with people and have not come back alive. We need our Black people to be able to live until their old age. Young Black men, young Black women, we need them both, regardless of who's doing the murdering. Because that brings me to the controversial statements that are being made. You have some young people that I've seen on some people on Instagram and Twitter that I've seen saying, oh, that's why I only hang with niggas, because bitches is always jealous. Well, niggas is jealous of bitches too. Like, let's be real. You can be in a whole relationship with a nigga who's jealous of you. That can be your boyfriend, your husband, who's jealous of you, who's jealous of how you achieve things, who's jealous of how you accomplish things, who's jealous of how you can move with or without him. And he could be fucking trying to rain on your parade. You have niggas who may do something to you and side with all the niggas. You have niggas who literally, well, a woman will say that something has happened to her and that a man did it, and they all agree with the man. You have people who hang out with men who hang out with abusers. So how can you say that you trust men over women? It's not a men versus women situation. And I need everybody to realize that. It's a people situation. It's relationships and loyalty and honesty situations. It's not about men versus women. Men do this, women do that. No, as we can see, both men and women do that. They do the same things. There are some people who do this. There are some people who do that. There are some people who do this. And there are some people who do that. That's just the reality of what it is. It's not men versus women. So I hate when I see it's mostly women who say shit like that. And you know what? It's not mostly women who say shit like that. Like I said, I need to even myself, I have to catch, because I've seen men say that too. Both parties need to stop saying, oh, I only fuck with females because you can't trust niggas. Or I only fuck with niggas because I can't trust females. We have to, or I can't trust women. We have to understand that everybody, there are loyal people and there are disloyal people. And that's just what it is. And we really have to vet the people that we meet. You can't just be friends with someone off top just because they have a good vibe, because y'all had a good time together. You need to, there are more situations, there are things that are more important that you go through, that people are going to be around for in your life, and you need to know the people who are going to step up to the plate and the people who are going to strike out and people who are not even going to try, who put in any effort. That's what the realization of things are. And that's why healing is important, because it's not about male versus female, woman versus man. It's about all healing and then being able to have healthy, productive relationships. And then there, what one thing that I do want to just bring out is I'm reading this book called Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. And it's a interesting read. It's like a doctor. His name is Dr. Daniel G. Amen. He wrote the book, but it's like it's a scientific book, but it's easy to read. So it has a bunch of scientific jargon in it, but it also explains what these words mean, and it also gives you it also is repetitive, so you're reading these words over and over again so that things are, you know, sticking to you. Because I'm catching myself taking notes, and then I'm like, okay, let me stop taking notes so that I can get through this book. And then the words pop up again. It's like, ah, there they go. So what I'm learning in this book is there are a lot of things and things that people call personality traits or whatever, things that are happening in our brain that we are unaware of, and we blame it on personality traits. But in reality, it's things going on in our brain. Our brain may not be getting enough vitamins, so you need certain supplements in your life. More exercise, more oxygen. There's things that our brain needs, or, you know, there's certain parts of our brain that are more active in others than others. So there are people who are more angry in others, not because that's their personality, but because this part of their brain is more active or underactive than the norm. So because these things are happening in our brain and we are unaware of, we have things that are happening that we assume as our personality, and which really is not the case. We have schizophrenia, you have all of the schizophrenia, bipolarism, you have all of these things that people actually, you know, can get a brain scan for. And even if you actually need medications for these things, you can go see what part of your brain is causing these problems. Because a lot of these issues that people have go undiagnosed, or they get falsely diagnosed because doctors don't always, certain procedures cost a lot of money. People don't have that. So there may be 10 people in the room. They may all be bipolar. They're all going to get the same medication or similar medication. However, they're different individuals. Parts of their brain that may be in overactive or underactive, there may be other parts of their brain that have effect to that. So this person's frontal lobe might be active or underactive and causing this problem, while this other person's, I don't know, hyperlobe is overactive and causing these issues. And you will only know if you get a brain scan. So these are things that I have started to think about when it comes to people and how we react to our relationships. And what I learned is the limbic system. I'm not going to go into detail about that because I'm still reading the book. But what I've learned is the limbic system deals with emotions and our bonds with people. And so when our bond breaks in our head, in our brain, that hurts us because that ties in with our emotions. We're breaking a bond that we have created with somebody else. And because our brain has to break that bond, it doesn't want to. So that's why we hold on to a lot of relationships. Because, like I said, we would rather remain friends. Or me personally, I would rather remain friends. Or I used to want to stay friends and forgive that person instead of realizing that this person is a repeat offender. And they're going to continue to do X, Y, and Z to me. And after we stop talking for a certain amount of time, they're going to, miss me. They're going to be apologetic. They're going to come back into my life. We're going to be good for a certain amount of time. And then X, Y, and Z is going to happen again. And it's like, how many times can I go through that cycle? Can't keep going through that cycle. Because now you're getting hurt over and over again. Every time they hit that finish line and y'all start again, you get hurt even more and more and more. And that bond you're trying to keep strong in your head is weakening. However, you're not breaking it. You're not healing it. You're just allowing it to get weaker and weaker and weaker. And so that's why I feel like it's important that we take our mental health seriously, and that we take our friendships, any relationship we're in, seriously. We need to stop acting as if the things that we do not affect other people. If it doesn't affect you emotionally, spiritually, physically, or mentally, you don't want to give it any life or, show it any love so that it lives. However, you don't want to be the person that is affecting someone else negatively in those areas. Because ultimately, emotional, spiritual, physical, and mental health is the four values of life. Those are the four ways that we live and survive. Like, we can break it down. You have emotional. So emotionally, we're tied to people. We're tied to our jobs, children, family. I just said people. As the adventures, experiences that you have with other people, we're tied to them spiritually. We have spiritual goals, things like what's life. Why are we here? The ancestors, like, those are things that are important to us and that help aid us through life, and things that we think about through life. Everybody thinks about God and what the higher power is. We have our physical, because our body, our health is important. Being able to do things for yourself, get up, exercise, be healthy, have a long life. That's important to us all. And also our mental health. And we may think emotional and mental is the same, but in reality, your mental health is really just like how you feel about yourself. The thoughts that you're telling yourself, are they good thoughts? Are you able to focus on your work? Are you getting caught up in social media because you're feeling lonely and you're feeling like lesser than, and you want to, be comfortable? So, you scroll because you're comfortable. It's easy. You can laugh. You can stay. You can be a part of the world while you're in your bed. So it's like, these are the four parts of our life, because at the end of the day, it's biological.
It's psychological, it's social, it's spiritual. These are, you know, you can find the meanings of life in a science book, because at the end of the day, these are the things that help get us, these are the things that are important to us through life. This is the things that matter. This is how we survive. This is how we live. If we didn't have biological things that are going growing and food, we wouldn't survive. We need that. Our mental health is psychological. Our mental health is important. How we socialize, how we move around, how we do things is important. Our emotional, how we feel, how do we feel about ourselves is important. How we talk and how we feel, you know? So you have to heal before, and you have to heal in all aspects of your life in order for you to continue, for you to forgive people. Because once you forgive them, that forgiveness is for you. However, but if you're forgiving people and allowing them back in your life, you all need to be healed in order for you to have another and a better relationship. There is no way that you can have this relationship with this person who's broken, who's going to continue to hurt you. You're going to continue to wear this dress that has the scratchy tag. And it's cute, but sometimes it's scratchy. And it scratches you all the time, actually. But you don't let it bother you. At some point, you're going to rip that motherfucking tag off. You're going to cut it off, rip it off, however you do it. I'm a ripper, so I would have ripped it off. Fuck this shirt, fuck this tag. So you have to solve the problem, then you can move forward. So, and I say all that to say that it's okay to cut people off. It's okay to move forward with your life. It's okay to meet new people. You just have to really get to know people. You can't be so excited that you rush into a relationship with somebody because it feels so good to you. Because we get caught up in things that make us feel good because of the dopamine or whatever the fuck it is. I gotta do my research on that, because I've been hearing it a lot, and I'm a little bit, you feel me, I'm not really sure if it's the dopamine, but I think that's what it is. But you feel me, you get all happy, full of love, and it feels all good and beautiful, and it makes our body feel good and tingly in a good way. And it's like, and then you get crushed immediately when they betray you or something happens. And it's not that wonderful, magical dream, Bonnie and Clyde or whatever relationship, friendship that you thought it was. And now you're trying to get that high back. It's like cocaine. It's like crack. It's like cocaine. It's drug. Love is a drug. You're so busy trying to get that first feeling, those feelings that you had when you first met, that first kiss, the first time they touched you or hugged you or whatever, the first time y'all went and did some shit that y'all wasn't supposed to, and it was so exciting. It's like you're trying to get those feelings back, but you can't. The relationship has changed and you're still trying to get those old feelings back, and it's like you're not healing. You're just smoothing over that and trying to get something back that you're never gonna get. And even if you do get a piece of it, you might be dealing with a narcissist, a person who's dangled a little piece in front of you and then take it back. You have to get your power back. You have to do things that, you know, call your power back to yourself so that you are strong enough to move forward and to find your tribe. And lucky for us, we do have social media, because you can find your tribe. You can vet people on there. People can lie to you on there as well. You can be tricked, but it's all up to you to be wise and to make wise decisions and from your experiences. And some people have to have certain experiences for them to learn in the future. But at the end of the day, once you learn your lesson and you start feeling like this is just stupid and ridiculous, like I can live without this, once you know better, then do better. That's really what it is. You don't have to hold on to relationships because they don't control you.
If you hold on to those relationships and they hurt you and you're not yourself when you're around them, you feeling lesser than, you're not having fun, you're worried when you're there, you feel out of place, you don't belong there. Get out of that space. You don't have to be. I used to have a friend who, I had a couple of friends who would bring me in spaces that I was not comfortable around in. I would feel, you know, you would know there were people who they would bring me in these circles. So I had a friend who would bring me in her circle. And then one day the her circle and her were beefing. And someone from her circle came to me and told me all the negative things that she's ever said about me. But she was my friend. The girl who hit me told me, "You're not even my friend. And I'm telling you this." It's like, what? Why do you know so much? So anybody could be lying to you on the internet or whatever, but you have to learn when enough is enough. It's only so much you can take. And you don't want to be, it's better safe than sorry, and you don't want to be in a situation where you're in a group of people who bring you around other people and the friend that you love and trust is the one that's dogging you to her group of friends. And they all smiling in your face, but they talking about you behind your back. That is uncomfortable. You don't want to be in situations like that. So I removed myself from that situation. This friend still hits me, tells me they love me and everything, but I would never allow myself to be in a situation with them ever again because I don't feel safe. I don't feel like who I am as a person is safe. I feel like I would go there and they would be cool that day and then they would find something to talk about. They would be talking about me behind my back in my face because they've already had a conversation. So it's like instead of allowing them to be my masters and being in that situation and being quiet, or allowing them to take me out of my element and going off and slapping bitches, which I probably at the end of the day should. But at the end of the day, I'm just not a violent person. That part of my brain is not activated like that. I don't get to the point where I'm slapping people. That's just not what's activated. It's not how my brain makeup is made. It's not how the chemicals in my brain connect and blah, blah, blah. So because of that, I remove myself. I know I'm a good friend. I know I'm a fun person because that's why y'all bring me around. You're not bringing me around just to laugh at me. You bringing me around because I'm also fun. However, I'm going to remove myself because you're not about to keep hurting me and disrespecting me. So it's okay to cut people off. I say all of that to say it's okay to cut people off because you deserve to be around people you can trust with your life with. Because you never know what situation you're going to end up in. So you don't want to end up in a situation where you need somebody to help save your life and they leave you behind. You don't want to end up in a situation where somebody you would depend on them to save your life and they're the one taking your life. You don't want to end up in a situation where your safety matters and your dignity matters and people are putting you and your business on the internet and exposing you for all to see, not just this fight, but when you have your friend drunk and her vagina out, or your friend and he drunk and throwing up and laying in his throw up and you recording it laughing, "Oh, look at this nigga hella fucker drunk, ah, ah, ah." Like, you know, recording them while they sleep, that's okay, ha ha ha. Maybe putting a little whipped cream, a little jokey joke, that's cool. Doing it all the time, that's annoying, irritating. You not a friend because they getting tired of that shit. Unless y'all have the type of relationship where y'all prank each other. So if y'all don't have that type of relationship, then ain't no way you gonna continue to do that. You don't want to be around friends who jokingly hurt you all the time. It's not fun. So you remove yourself from them situations because you don't know what happens if, because we don't know if they meant to kill Shanquilla, but they did.
if she was drunk. They said there was no alcohol in her system, so we're not going to say if she was drunk. But she shouldn't have been getting into a fight. And if they did get into a fight, sometimes you got to let people fight. Somebody should have broke it up when they seen she wasn't fighting back, because y'all a group of friends. So no one needs to be around people that they can't trust with their life. If something happens and we all have to hide something together, we done seen how to get away with murder. If there's one in the group that they don't fuck with, everybody else bands together and they don't give a fuck about that person. No. We need to all be banding together. I don't need to be the one that was murdered by a friend and everybody else hiding it up and I'm not getting justice. That's bullshit. So Shanquilla needs justice for her murder, and everybody needs healing. Stop forgiving people because it makes you feel better, because you don't like to be bothered, you don't want to be worried. And stop just cutting off people and not healing that situation. Stop cutting off people and not forgiving them and move forward. This is you speak louder when you're talking to other people because your mouth is closer to your ear. You thinking about these things as you're saying them. But you need to be listening to yourself as well. So I'm listening to myself. I say that to let y'all know that I'm talking to me as well. But at the end of the day, we need healing. All of us need healing. So, you know, this is the time where we want to get up and we want to really start talking to ourselves, writing things down. We want to start going through with our plans. You have things that you want to do in life, start setting goals, and not just setting goals and forgetting about them, but setting goals, short-term goals. And I know it's so cliche, but you want to set them short-term goals, because what's going to happen, you're going to accomplish those. You have some big dreams you want to have, but there are little things that you want to do in the meantime. Also, no, you don't have to be a professional to start everything. I know a lot of us have that issue where we can't start things because we like, oh, I need this, I need that, it needs to be perfect. There are so many people out there who are not funny, who cannot sing, who cannot rap, who are not creative, who cannot do hair, who are posting their work, their art, and who have people who love them, who have clients. I have seen people who do hair horribly. It's like, girl, stop posting these hairstyles. However, they continue to post these hairstyles regardless of if they look like shit or not. And she gets clients. Multiple clients. You know how I know? They different people, because I see the pictures online. People be liking them. People be commenting. So there is an audience for everything. So stop stopping yourself. Stop hindering yourself. Also, note to self. I have so many goals since what's happening in my life. I have so many goals to keep. To keep. So many things I have to attain. And I have to get up and do it. That's why I'm back on this podcast for season 2. Episode 1, we just getting started. But what's going to happen is you're going to elevate. You're going to heal. You're going to do better. And you're going to find your tribe, because you're going to start vibrating higher. And you're going to have people. It's going to be like magnets. People are going to come to you. Your tribe's going to come to you. You're not going to have to force it. And when you start forcing things, the reality of the universe, God, life, when it needs to teach you a lesson, when you're not learning it the way that you should be learning it, even when you have all the tools, life may cause for something traumatic to happen to you in order for you to wake up and pay attention. And even I hate to think that. I hate that idea. I hate that idea so much, because I tell life all the time, I did not need this to happen in order for me to get the lesson.
But that's the reality of it. I haven't accepted it yet. I'm still angry. I pray every day. And I'm not praying like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm praying angry like, what the fuck? But that's the reality. You have to live in your purpose. Either you're going to be happy, unhappy, not living in your purpose. You're going to be comfortable, not living in your purpose, and something traumatic is going to happen to wake you up. Or you're just going to be unhappy for the rest of your life. I personally, I don't know what life is, what life means, what happens after you die, but I want to know. And personally, I don't know if the human experience is something I want to ever experience again, because I am just dealing with so many different emotions and feelings. It's like, is this really worth it? the coming to earth to see, to eat, to feel, to touch, to smell, like all these, to have these senses, to experience things. Is it really worth it? I don't know, but I just want to elevate. I want to go to a higher level. I want to vibrate higher. And I want those of us, I want everybody else with me, my loved ones, to vibrate higher so we can be together. However that means, what that means as a spirit, what that means in the future, what that means in the afterlife, what that means from here on out. I want everybody to do what they need to do now and vibrate higher as this entity so that you can go to the next level. Because, you know, it's a wakening up of things right now. And everybody's feeling like this is just not life. It's not happiness. And we want happiness. And we deserve happiness. You deserve happiness. Look in the mirror. Tell yourself, you are beautiful. I am beautiful. I am strong. I deserve happiness. I deserve love and to be loved. I deserve to be able to experience genuine kindness, genuine trust. Tell yourself that. Live that. Become that. Easier said than done. Set times for yourself to live your goal. Even if it's just 30 minutes for the day, do that. Okay? Also, check out the book Change Your Brain, Change Your Life by Daniel G. Amen. He is, like I said, it's an interesting book, but if you want to just have some understanding of why people do what they do, why you are doing what you're doing, acting on how you're acting, feeling or understanding your feelings and your emotions, and how you can help yourself to become better in just the beginning, read this book. It's an easy read. It's like a 400 page book. If you're a reader, 400 pages is not that much. Get yourself this book or, you know, read some excerpts of it. Find some information. It has some good websites on there. Actually, there is, you want to check out your Google Brain Health Assessment at amenclinics.com. And take that brain health assessment and it will give you an idea of what parts of your brain is active in overactive, and what can kind of help mellow you out, or what can kind of help you. You want to do your research. Once I get some more, we're going to do a podcast on that topic further, but just check that out. And I tried to type it in as a website and I couldn't really find it. So I typed in brain health assessment, and when Amen Clinics popped up, I clicked on it. I cannot speak right now. But I typed in brain health assessment, and when Amen Clinics came up, I clicked on that. So, and I was able to take the assessment, and to me, I feel like I learned some things about myself, and it was free. So, you know, it's free to go get you a brain health assessment. Go do that for yourself. It's a gift from you to you. You know what I'm saying? It's to help you to be able to understand why people act how they act, why you act how you act, and how you can be better and be happier. And you feel me? If you got to cut a bitch off, cut a bitch off. That's it and that's all. But thank you so much for tuning in. If you stay for the whole entire podcast, I appreciate you. Also, you want to check out Moody Beauty, MOODYBEAUTY. That's on Instagram. It's also on Facebook. They have some new products coming out. I just recently seen some, so you want to check that out. And thank you again for tuning in. Make sure that you are saying those affirmations to yourself every day, because you need to talk health and happiness to yourself. Name your plants after you. So when you talk to your plants, you're talking life and love into yourself. Write down your goals, but also set small goals, short-term goals, in order that you are going to achieve. Keep those goals in front of you. Me, I keep the books that I want to read, keep the things that I want to do in front of me, because I am forgetful, and I keep those things in front of me just so that that helps me to remember. Oh yeah, I gotta take this. Oh yeah, I gotta read that, because I will forget. I have a short-term memory problem, so I will forget. So just make sure that you keep the things that you want ahead of you, and that's just in life period. Keep your goals, the things you want to attain, ahead of you, in your face, so that you continue to fight for them goals. Watch the company you keep, my loved ones. That is the lesson of the day. Watch the company you keep. And that goes for physically and spiritually. The physical people, I'm talking about your friends and your families and all of that. The spiritual people, I'm talking about the entities that you connect with when you're doing your whatever it is that you're doing. You just want to watch the company you keep. You want to watch your back, because not everything and everybody is good for you, because everything, even spirits, need healing. And that is just what the message has been sent. That's what they have said to me. That is what I am saying. That is it. And that is all. Thank you for tuning in to ESPM. Remember, if it doesn't affect you emotionally, spiritually, physically, or mentally, do not give it no life. And I will see you next time.